Whatever. Anyways, let's do a podcast.
I think you have managed to filibuster for like half an hour. Howdy, it's Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, and this is episode 254 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Everything we did in Atlantic City.
That was a good trip.
The gambling, I think for everyone involved, went superbly. Certainly all food we ate was excellent. We'll get to all that. There might be a pinch of sarcasm for some of that, but it was a good trip.
Yeah.
So, we have struggled lately to get always, once, nevers, but we were talking about something over text that we realized after texting about it for 20 minutes that we should save it for the podcast, and it's not really an always, once, never, it's more of a hypothetical or like a would you rather type thing, and so my pitch is, for the next few episodes at least, instead of running always, once, nevers, to do would you rather type scenarios. So, are you in?
Can I say no?
You cannot. So okay, I was okay, asking.
Go ahead then.
Just for rubber stamp approval. This was your idea. So do you want to ask the question?
Sure. So we were having a discussion because our friend Dave basically arrived in AC at 5 p.m. and left at 9 a.m. the next day. And I think you declared that you would just not go to Atlantic City if you had to do that.
Yeah.
And so I was pushing you saying like, would you do a day trip? And you're like, yeah, I would do a day trip, but I wouldn't get to Atlantic City at 5 and leave at 9. So I was pushing you on it some more, saying that, you know, it's basically the same amount of time awake. The sleep time is pretty pleasant. What's the difference? So the question is, would you rather arrive in AC at 5 p.m. and leave at 9 a.m. the next day, or arrive in AC at 11 a.m. and leave at 9 p.m. the same day?
It's pretty much, what, 10 hours of waking time, probably. If you figure you get there at 5, you go to bed at like 1 or later, you know, wake up at 7 and have a couple hours, versus 11 to 9, just a straight 10-hour block, and then drive home. My initial reaction was, just on the face of it, if I was like, oh, I'm only going to be able to get there at 5 and I have to leave pretty quickly after I wake up, like, no, I'm not doing that. But I thought more about it, and there are a couple of big advantages to doing the overnight. One is that you get sleep, at least a little bit. But you get there, you get dinner, you get to gamble for like a pretty hefty amount in the evening after dinner.
You get drinking.
And you can drink.
Right. Well, you could tell me if you disagree, but to me, an AC trip without gambling, it's almost like, why would I go to AC then? And I feel like drinking is kind of like that for you. You really enjoy going and having a cocktail somewhere and having another cocktail somewhere else.
Yeah.
Sitting at a video poker bar.
So that's interesting. You asked in the text thread if I have ever done day trips. And I have done a few, but I think they were all taking the bus.
Right.
Which is harder now where I live, but also it saves a lot of time to drive. I still think I would just wait for another time to go to AC if the option was getting there at 5 p.m.
I mean, you flat out said that if you were Dave, you would not be going to AC, even with you living much closer than we live.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing is my travel is probably an hour and a half shorter than you guys, or at least an hour.
I mean, I would have gone if I were him. No question. So I would much rather do the overnight, which was always my thing. You were saying that was wrong at first, and it seems like you've come around to mine. I would also do a day trip. It would be no problem.
I don't know. In my head, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't have a great reason to say no, but my initial reaction is just like, oh, that's not a lot of time in AC. So we have a couple quick news items, both of them related to Hard Rock. One is that they've announced a new restaurant called Sitar, which is somewhat funny because of where we went to dinner, which we'll get to. So on shorelocalnews.com, which I'll link to, which I think is just the press release direct from Hard Rock, it says, named after the iconic instrument, Sitar will debut as Hard Rock Atlantic City's newest restaurant experience. I think it's probably just a restaurant and not so much of an experience. This bold new Indian restaurant will blend modern sophistication with deep cultural roots. I think the deep cultural roots are the roots of the Taj Mahal, right?
Yeah.
It says it's an upscale take on Indian dining. Features live music because it's at Hard Rock and everything at Hard Rock has to feature live music.
Your dog is absolutely going bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Scheduled to open late summer. Are you excited for this?
No, I'm not really excited. I don't need to go to upscale Indian in the Hard Rock.
Upscale Indian. I feel like you don't see a lot of like expensive Indian places.
You do around here, I feel like.
So, yeah, interesting to see a new restaurant at Hard Rock. The other thing that Hard Rock announced, which I find more interesting, is something called The Balcony, which opens tomorrow, Friday, May 23rd. I have to read the little pitch that they have here because it's insane. Indulge in a world where cabaret whispers, cigars glow, and cocktails command attention. The Balcony, cabaret, and outdoor lounge awaits. Wow, that is really giving it the hard sell. Outdoor lounge featuring specialty cocktails and premium cigar smoking. I know that you love that.
I love it. Can't get enough of it.
And then starting Friday, there's an indoor cabaret experience running three shows, Fridays and Saturdays, 9, 10:30, and midnight.
Is this in the Score space? Or where
I think
is this?
So.
I assume so, right? Your dog says yes.
Yeah. To me, the cabaret thing sounds sort of like a lower scale version of The Hook, maybe. It says live music, aerialists, variety acts.
Yeah. Or like burlesque.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see it.
Epigrata. I mean, me and my wife enjoyed burlesque, so.
Let's go. It opens June 20th. I'll see you there.
All right.
Midnight show.
Love it.
I like that there's a midnight show. I want things to skew very late.
That is good. That is seems right up your alley. Yeah. I will never be going to a midnight showing of anything. But
they're probably pretty short then. If they're 9, 10:30 and midnight, they're probably, you know, 45 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Sounds good. I don't want to be around a bunch of cigar smoke in this outdoor lounge.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
I don't know. Interesting stuff. I feel like they've tried a bunch of different things in that space, and we'll see how this does. So that's the Hard Rock Talk. That's the news. Now we need to get to the important thing, which is us.
We went to Atlantic City.
Kicking it in Atlantic City. My first memory of the trip was driving there and Siri on my Apple CarPlay saying every 45 seconds, Kyle has sent a photo to the group. Kyle has sent a photo. So anyways, what were you doing before we got there?
Drinking.
I could tell.
Yeah. Basically, I got there a couple hours before you guys did, I think. I probably got in around 4:30, 5 o'clock, something like that. Yeah, my son's baseball game ended up getting canceled, so I was able to leave much earlier than I was otherwise going to be able to, and decided to take a walk around. I have to say, first, this was a Saturday late afternoon evening, was absolutely insane on the boardwalk. There was some, I guess you said, country music show happening in Boardwalk Hall. I'd never heard of the guy that was there, nor do I remember his name, but...
Keen Brown.
The boardwalk was absolutely insane. I walked by Beer Garden first. There were no open... inches in the beer garden. Like, all the casinos were completely insane. Yeah, everything was crazy. So I just kept going south, walked right by the Knife and Fork, which I sent a picture of, and ended up going to what was a new bar for me, the Wonder Bar.
How was that?
Absolutely insane.
Packed?
It was just packed. I don't think from the concert, but just, I guess, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, they're always packed. I'm not sure.
Nice
I think it seemed like they were doing something, had some celebration for some anniversary or something. So it could have been that, too, and it looked like a band was setting up right when I was leaving. But, you know, went there, had a couple beers.
It was also, like, sunny and 78 degrees.
Just yeah,
a
it
nice
was
day.
Beautiful out. I don't have too much to say. I mean, prices were all right, I guess. It was happy hour, technically, so I think everything was a dollar off. Yeah, it was just, like, too busy for me to really have any sense of how it is on a normal day, because there was just a trillion people in there. So I'll give Wonder Bar an incomplete as my grade. But it seemed perfectly nice. Like, the dock was really nice out back. So after Wonder Bar, I walked to Proud Berries, because that is another bar I have not checked out. Supposedly open 24 hours, but it was closed at, like, 5:30 or 6 p.m. on Saturday night. Saturday evening. Saturday late afternoon.
Terrible.
They had the sign on the door said it was going to open at 9, so I don't know what was up with that, but I did not go to Proud Mary's.
I think that says a lot about a bar and the type of bar it is.
Yeah.
If it opens at 9 p.m. on a Saturday.
Right. So anyway, I went to walk back to the boardwalk past the beautiful Hilton, where I sent you some pictures of how wonderful it looks now. Went to the South Beach Beer Garden, which is literally right outside the Hilton. Could not be any closer to it. It was nice. It was real chill. There was like two or three people in there the whole time I was there, which is just what I'm looking for. And they had some local brewery that supplied their beer, and I thought it was very good.
I don't understand how that little shack stays open. I mean, I guess the rent must just be absolutely nothing, because I've never seen anyone there the couple times I've walked by it. And on a day when everything else is completely packed, you say there's like two or three people there. So
yeah, there's no one there.
Yeah.
I loved it. So had a great time there. Had two more beers. I had a double IPA and an IPA or something. So
how does it compare to the Beer Garden over by Tropicana?
It's different, right? It's not the same. The Beer Garden is a beer garden, right? It has different types of beers. It's all Pilsners and continental European beers. It's a totally different experience. It's very small and intimate. Mm. You can't make an apples to apples comparison. Depends on what you want. If you want to just chill and have it be real chill, like, I think maybe South Beach Beer Garden's better.
Interesting.
There's like way more people and stuff going on at Beer Garden, where I also went on this trip without you. So
is there any food at the South Beach?
I didn't get any because we were going to dinner immediately afterwards, but yeah, there was food.
Right. So I got in a little before 6, pulled into Harrah's, took a while to find parking, but was able to get checked in at the kiosk very quickly and get to my room and throw my stuff in the room and then meet up with our friends Dave and Taylor and hop right into a cab and go to dinner. So we met you at dinner at Sitara.
Well, first you had to go get alcohol.
Oh, that's
right?
True. So Sitara is on Arctic Avenue. It's right by White House Subs. It's like sort of diagonally across, I guess, from White House Subs.
It's like right next to the Formica Freitag.
So it's a French Afghan restaurant, and it is BYOB.
Yeah.
So we quickly hustled over to the Ducktown Liquors, which is right next to Ducktown Tavern, and grabbed a bottle of wine and a six-pack of Coors Banquet and went back and got some food and met up with you, who at that point, you had already had quite a few beers.
Mm.
We were all stone sober and desperately needed our Coors Banquet beers.
Isn't this every AC trip?
Seems like it.
Yeah. I mean, just like every AC trip, after dinner, I don't think I drank anymore the first night, and then was feeling great the next day. It wasn't feeling great, but it would have been better if we could have eaten like 2 hours before we ate the next day. Then it would have been fine.
So Sitara has a meal thing that you have to do on the weekends, right?
Yep. So on the weekend, it's a 4-course meal for $70, which was appetizer, soup, entree, and dessert. Like I said, there is no choice. There's a few appetizers and entrees you can choose that are more expensive, so it could be slightly more. Like our friend Taylor got escargot, which I think added like $4 or something to his tab. So that's how the 4-course meal works.
You say there's no choice, but you have to get the $70 menu. But there are lots of choices for each course of what you get. You have to get the soup.
The soup and the dessert, there is no choice, I think. But
there are quite a few appetizers to choose from, and there's a lot of entrees to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone but me got the lamb shank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you all spoke very, very highly of.
Yeah, it was Uzbek something, I think. It was very, very good. I mean, I ate all of mine and then like half of Taylor's.
Yeah, it was like a huge lamb shank on just a mountain of rice.
Uh-huh.
I got the combination lamb and chicken kebabs. It was fantastic. Just everything in it was excellent. Came with some tasty sauces for dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Also came with a bunch of rice. The dessert was like a baklava and a little chocolate mousse. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The soup was good. The appetizer, I think we all tried everybody's appetizers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mine was like little fried potato
things. Taylor's was escargot. I had eggplant.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what Dave had, but.
But yeah, everybody got different stuff. Everything I thought was just fantastic. And it's really cool in there. Like, it's totally themed out, which if you know me, you know I like that stuff. And then there's like a courtyard with a little
gaudy wooden Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
Light up wooden Eiffel Tower. And I think I've mentioned my love for making indoors look like outdoors. But it sort of looks like a little courtyard area with like a fountain and seating all around it. So we didn't get put in the courtyard.
Yeah, they didn't seat us there.
But we were right next to a window that was by the violinist as we, you know, had loud drunken conversations. And
surely bothering the violinist.
But I loved it there. I think it would be a great date restaurant. And honestly,
you said when you walked in, you're like, Andrea would love this place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. There were about 10 things on the menu that I wish I could have tried. So I would definitely go back. I think the $69.95 whatever deal is actually really good when you break it down. Like if you think about going to a casino restaurant, you're probably going to end up spending about $150 if you've got two people and you're getting, well, I guess with drinks.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be able to get, you know, a soup, an appetizer, a big main course and a dessert, it seemed totally reasonable to be $70 a person. It's all high quality stuff. And I'm surprised that we hadn't heard anything about it before this.
Yeah, I mean, I just found it when I was searching for dinner stuff because this was Friday that we were trying to plan Saturday night dinner at 7:30. You know, Saturday night at 7:30 in the summer is not necessarily going to be a great time to be looking for reservations 24 hours out.
Yeah, so highly recommend it, honestly, if you're looking for a place that's really different in Atlantic City. You know, we've talked about how much we like the off-casino stuff and how much we like docks and some other places that are out of casinos. This is so different. Like, it's just so unique for anywhere, I think, really. And, like, especially in Atlantic City, there's just nothing like it. So I would definitely check it out. I would go again and try other stuff. Like, we all did Afghan stuff. They also have a French side of the menu, and then they have some sort of Italian fusion stuff that are like pasta dishes with
Afghan inspiration. Afghan pasta, yeah.
I would try one of each. Just really cool place, good service. So good find, Kyle.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good.
Save some money with the BYOB. We crushed our six course banquets.
Just absolutely smashed that bottle of wine in six course banquets, which is, I'm sure, exactly what I needed at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I had two glasses of wine and two course banquets at dinner after my, you know, four I'd already had like in the hour before that. So
then after that, we
drove my car back.
All went to your car. Yeah. Someone else drove your car back. Just for clarification.
Certainly not me. Yeah. Taylor ended up driving my car back to Harrah's.
You guys checked in. I was already checked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just gambled at Harrah's for the rest of the night.
Yep.
So how did your gambling go on Saturday night?
I think it was actually fine.
It went very well for me. Won $100 on Bubble Craps, which just continued my love for Bubble Craps. Like $5 minimum, you can just take your time to make your decisions. You hit the button, nobody's getting mad at you for rolling the dice off the table. Just a great experience. You know, I know people like the social aspect of craps and it removes that. I find the social aspect of anything stressful, so getting rid of that's really, you know, the ideal thing.
Yeah, I was down a little bit more than $100 on Friday night. I ended up winning a whole bunch of money at craps, so that, I guess, was good. I don't really remember because of aforementioned things that happened during the day. Lost a bunch of money on 88 Fortunes Diamond, which is unfortunate. I believe that was one of the new fancy three reel machines that I like so much. So gave back my craps winnings there. But I was basically even on Saturday night. And I think I ended up going to sleep at like 11. It was pretty early when I went up.
I played a good amount of their, I don't know if it's full pay, double bonus, but it's the best pay tables that you can get at a quarter. And I hit three different high value four of a kind. So I think I got four twos, threes, fours, four twos, threes, fours with an ace, which pays $200. And then I think I got another four, twos, three, fours. So that's $400 in three wins. Two of those were 3 minutes apart. So there was one session where I had $300 just out of two hits, and I think I won like $240 in that session. Then I came back later in the night and played and hit another four twos, threes, fours, which was another $100, and I was up like $140, and I gave all of it back in that session. So the annoying thing about double bonus is like the two pair only pays
one.
So I hit that bonus, and then I hit a couple of full houses, and then I was just like, couldn't get anything better than two pair, and still just sat there playing for some reason and gave it back, which is annoying, but still, you know, up on video poker because of the other two hits. Played some slots. I know the thing that everybody cares about is that there are two Wonder Woman machines, old school Wonder Woman machines at Harrah's, so that's good. Got to hear the music a couple of times. And then the other important thing is when I went to order a cocktail, the first thing I wanted after we got back from dinner was like, I'm going to sit down at a slot machine and I'm going to order strawberry daiquiri with whipped cream. And I clicked through and it was not on the menu. It went from like sex on the beach to tequila sunrise. And I was like, come on, strawberry daiquiri whipped cream. And they did not have it. And I checked again later in the night, nothing. So I don't know. Now next time I go to some other Caesars casino, I need to check. Maybe they're just out of the daiquiri mix. I don't know. But it would be devastating if it was just off the Caesars menu.
Yeah, we would probably have to boycott Caesars.
We probably would.
It would be the only thing.
So yeah, I played a bunch of slots. I thought the Harrah's gambling experience was pretty good. I thought it was better than I remembered it.
Yeah, I think the casino itself was fine. It was totally fine. Which isn't like necessarily the highest praise in the world, but if it's your cheapest option and like you're worried, am I going to be able to have fun there for the night I'm going to spend there? I think the answer is going to be yes, I think. Something they had on the Saturday night that I didn't take part in because it was incredibly crowded, which is like something you can only get at Harrah's in Atlantic City, is like the $25 squeeze game was open. Sunday morning when I ended up getting up, I was going to like, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm doing. And unfortunately, it was not open. Well, it was actually open, but it was $100. So
I didn't realize until we were walking out on Sunday that they have a separate video poker bar way off in the corner of the casino.
Yeah, it's all the way at the back wall.
Yeah, because I tried to play
whatever
at the exhibition bar, and it was totally full. The limits there are really high anyway. And then I tried to play at Eden Lounge when they had a live band, and that was just packed and couldn't get a table. So I wish I had known about the other video poker bar.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've complained a lot about my slots just losing. So I had the $260 win on double bonus. We played Little Shop of Horrors, won $50 on that. I won $70 on Baozhu Zhao Fu, which is just a really fun game. Like, I know the little crackers don't mean anything, but the like combo bonuses in that game are really fun, where like you can get both the lock spins and it's now two screens, or now they're like doubling the amount. Like, that's the, I just find it enjoyable. So one of my favorite slots now, found by my wife, which is funny. So yeah, the gambling went pretty well. I think it was like 12:45 or something. And I was like, I could just go to bed up over $300 and I'd feel great about life. And then I was like, I'm going to go back to that double bonus machine. And that's when I hit again. And then I was way up and then gave it all back and ended up down $140 on that machine. and then played some more slots and, you know, kept giving money back. So I went to bed up, but not up as much as I should have. The one thing I did do is go to Buddy's Boardwalk Empire, which, since we were staying at Harrah's, I felt very obligated to do that. And they were sold out of a ton of stuff. So, like, Buddy's Boardwalk Empire is Buddy Filastro's restaurant from Cake Boss. It's not really a restaurant. It's a little, like, grab-and-go sort of eatery. Or not grab-and-go, but, like, you order at a counter. Sort of like Bread and Butter at Borgata, I guess. But they have pizza. They have a bunch of baked goods. And a lot of things are like cannoli and lobster tail, which is like a croissant filled with some stuff. They were out of almost all that. And they just had a ton of like prepackaged cake slices, prepackaged black and white cookies. So I got a not prepackaged sugar cookie, which was just a pretty generic sugar cookie. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I was really disappointed to see how much of the stuff at Boardwalk Empire was just like prepackaged, very obviously made in the large Carlos Bake Shop factory in Jersey City and shipped to to Atlantic City. And they have, if you go down toward the pool after dark, they have a Cake Boss cake slice vending machine, which I know they have in Vegas, and all the Vegas vloggers have recorded saying how bad it is. so they also have that at Harrah's. So they did the next morning, they had a ton of the like fresh baked stuff there. So I wish that they had those options, but I have to say I was underwhelmed by the Buddy's Boardwalk Empire. So then I went to bed at like 1:30. You woke up early, and I saw texts when I woke up saying that you were already gambling.
So just something about Buddy's Boardwalk Empire that really annoyed me. And it wasn't just Buddy's. It was also the Taza equivalent, like whatever the
It's the Taza.
Gelato place.
It's Taza there, too.
Is that it's 2-to-1 comps.
Yeah,
and it's just like unbelievable that you can't get 1-to-1 at places like that. Especially the Taza, like the Caesars gelato store.
Right.
Upset me so much that... It wasn't 1-to-1, so
yeah.
That's just absolute bullshit. But anyway, yeah, I ended up getting up, I think it was like a little bit before 6, I went down. I ended up playing a whole bunch of Paigao poker for a couple hours, and it actually went fine.
Before 6, you said?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Oh my goodness, okay. Doesn't even register as a real time to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, sorry, you played Paigao poker.
Yeah, for a couple hours. I think Dave ended up coming down at 8 or just before, and so I ended up moving over to UTH with him, and it went very badly. Or maybe it was Taylor. Anyway, I played UTH with someone in the morning. It was a disaster. Ended up playing a little bit of slots. This is about when I texted you, and I'm like, hey, we need to leave in like 10 minutes. And then you were actually in the casino with everyone else when I got back.
Yeah.
We ended up going to Gilchrist, the real Gilchrist, and sitting outside.
Yes. What did you think of Gilchrist?
I thought it was fantastic as always.
Even better than I remember it. It's one of those things, like, I'm always like, is it as good as I think? And it's like, yes, it is. It's every bit as good as you think it is.
The thing that, like, I just can't believe you say every time is that you prefer the Tropicana one to the real one, but that's absolutely mind-boggling to me. I don't know. It is, like, an indefensible...
This was a nicer experience. I've been to the outdoor one where it's really hot or it's really windy. This was very nice weather, so it was a good experience. This was good. And also the Tropicana one, our last experience at the Tropicana one was not great because we were out in that little...
In the back room.
Back room. And yeah, the food is just so good. Like, the pancakes are amazing. Sausage was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
My recommendation, my first time getting it, I got the hot Italian sausage as my breakfast meat, and it was absolutely fantastic, because I know I've poo-pooed the other options at Gilchrist quite a bit, so.
Yeah, I got the regular beef sausage, and it was also really good, which seems impossible that I haven't gotten that before, but I wonder if they actually gave me hot Italian sausage.
Was it spicy?
It was a little spicy, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what you got. So Gilchrist was absolutely fantastic. We ended up leaving there, I guess, and going back to Harrah's for a few hours, except for Dave, who drove home.
Yes. Yeah, so we went back to Harrah's, had to check out, gambled a little bit more. I don't really remember. Yep. I think I just played some slots at Harrah's. And then at one point, you needed to go plug your car in again.
Plug my car in. And gambling at that point for me, it looks like at Harrah's before we left, I ended up playing some video poker that was a disaster. And I played some Quest for the Holy Grail, which was right next to the Wonder Woman slot at Harrah's, like one of the old ones. Yeah, it was very bad. So at some point, I was like, I need to leave and go to the outlets because, like, the morning had been so bad already. And so I ended up leaving before you and Taylor left, and I went to the Noise Arts Garage because I needed to charge my car. And I went to the outlets and bought a pair of shoes at the Under Armour outlet, as always.
Yes, at that point, Taylor and I were playing a little bit of slots at Harrah's and then decided, like, hey, let's walk over to Golden Nugget. So we did that walk, which was perfectly nice. It was another nice day out. And Harrah's was, like, decently crowded on Sunday morning. I don't think anyone will be surprised to hear that Golden Nugget was very dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked around Golden Nugget a little bit. I saw and I tweeted that they have a double down stud machine at Golden Nugget. So you can play sixes or better there, which is, I know, is both of our favorite game. We'll get more to that.
Just love it.
Absolutely love it. And then did a loop around the casino and saw that there was a $15 face-up Paigao poker table getting set up. So I played a little bit of slots while we waited for that to become ready. And then once that was ready, we sat there and I actually played a table game for like maybe an hour and a half. Won a little bit of money. I think I won like $75 at Paigao Poker. Good dealers. Drink service was around pretty frequently. And Golden Nugget also had $10 3-2 blackjack open. So kind of made me feel like I need to give Golden Nugget another shot because the table game options were good and cheap, which is what I'm looking for. And, like, sitting there playing Paigao Poker with Taylor is, like, exactly what I was saying however many episodes ago about what I want out of a table game experience, which is, like, when you're playing slots, you're just sitting there mashing the slot button. Maybe you've got a friend next to you and you're joking around about it. But, like, sitting and playing a table game and just shooting the shit while you play, especially something as slow as Paigao Poker, was really, really fun. And especially happy to do it at a $15 table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with face-up Paigao, there's no commission, which was also nice because I didn't have to deal with quarters.
I mean, on the other hand, there is. You're pushing ace-high Paigao, which is not great. But
yeah, the dealer never got that, though, so I didn't have to worry about it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, perfect.
Taylor did have a run, though, where he got, like, I think he had ace-high Paigao, and then the next hand he had jack-high Paigao.
Yeah.
So it was good.
It's good. Yeah, so while you guys were there, and after I bought my shoes and changed into them, I went to the beer garden and was drinking some beer.
How was your beer garden experience?
It's good as always. Yeah, no complaints.
Less crowded than Saturday.
Yeah, much less crowded. It was quite pleasant out. I mean, it was another, like, could not have been more beautiful day on the boardwalk. So just had a beer there. And then you guys said you were ready to eat because I had been starving, I think, for a while at that point and was definitely ready to eat.
Yeah, I think it was like 1 o'clock.
Yep.
So we drove out from the marina side to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall.
Yep.
Because we wanted to try the new Isabella's Pizza. So Isabella's was open, but there's no seating in there. So we figured let's go to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall and see if they have the pizza there, which they did. And the waitress was very excited to tell us about their high-quality pizza. So we ordered the fry board, which was like bacon cheddar fries with several different dips, which is just a Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall menu item. And then we ordered a couple of pizzas. One was a regular cheese pizza. And one was, I thought, going to be a buffalo chicken pizza, but it had, like, sweet chili sauce on it.
Yep.
Tell me what you thought of Isabella's pizza.
I thought it was absolute garbage. I thought it was very bad pizza. I mean, as far as pizza goes, it was quite poor. As far as, like, food goes in general, like, even bad pizza is quite edible and, like, totally fine to eat. But it was bad. You were much more sympathetic to the pizza than I was.
I think if it was just on the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall menu and you ordered it thinking it was going to be like a bar pie, you'd be like, it's fine.
But I don't think they've got good food to start with. So I know for a long time, like, you and Paul really like the food at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, and I've thought it was, like, not great, and this is just, like, another arrow in my quiver of, like, just the food there is not very good.
I'm coming around on, it's a hangout spot that has bar food, and you shouldn't go for the food.
Mm-hmm.
Get some food if you're hungry, have some snacks, but it's not a place to go thinking it's going to have good food. I still like it as a place to go get a beer. I think they have got a pretty good beer selection.
We go a lot. Some of their food's good. The fry board was good. You know, I thought the pretzel we got last time we went was very good. I mean, it's a pretzel. It's kind of hard to mess up, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing I can say about the pizza was Cuzzy's pizza was better, right? And so it's replacing Cuzzy's that had better pizza, which is annoying. Like, I thought the pizza was okay, but the sweet chili pizza was just, like, drowned in that sweet chili sauce.
It was just, yeah, a saucy mess. It was not... No.
Yeah, and like, the cheese, like, you could tell that, the mozzarella was just, like, not very high-quality mozzarella on the cheese pizza. So, like I said, if it was just regular bar food menu pizza, it would have been, like, acceptable. But to come from this thing that they're sort of marketing as, like, no, this is going to be, like, really good pizza in Atlantic City, it was not great. Mm-hmm. But still fun to sit there.
Yeah.
And then we went from there to Borgata.
Go to Borgata.
Yeah.
And just did basically a bunch of gambling for 4 hours or something.
Yeah, you and I both had $75 in free bets.
Mm-hmm.
What did you use yours on? Craps?
Craps, yeah. So actually, I won all three of my free bets in craps, but I still ended up getting absolutely slaughtered in that session. So
this is like you just did pass line.
Pass line, yeah.
So I went to a $25 roulette table, and this was our friend Taylor's suggestion. $25 on black or red, $25 on odd or even the next spin, and $25 on the whatever 1 through 18 or 19 through 36, the last spin.
Uh-huh.
And so I won the first one and was feeling good. I was like, ooh, if I win all three of these, I'm going to give this dealer a nice tip. And then lost the next two. So I turned my $75 into $25.
And then you left?
Gave the dealer a buck and then, and then left. So... I mean, it was a very fast way to use the three vouchers. I'm a little concerned that I used the three vouchers and then I had to leave on Sunday night. So I didn't play a ton at Borgata. So I'm interested to see if MGM just hammers me for that and I'm not going to get Borgata comps for a while or any free play for a while. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But like we said, going into it, that's enough money. At $75, like, that's you have to take it. You have to take the win on that. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to save it because... Like, who knows if you're going to get $75
We ended
value.
Up playing for 3 or 4 hours, so I think it's probably fine.
Yeah,
unless you just, like, wandered around and didn't actually play anything. Were you just sitting on your win and, like, didn't want to ruin it?
No. I actually felt very free to, like, go play slots and stuff because I was up a couple $100 at that point and felt reasonably confident that I wasn't going to blow through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Borgata, by the way, totally packed. It was such a change to go from Golden Nugget, which is very empty. I actually felt uneasy when I first walked into Borgata because going from such emptiness at Golden Nugget to just incredibly crowded at Borgata. But then, you know, went and played some sixes or better, which it's a bad game. Like, I don't know. The novelty of the first time I played it, I was like, this is really cool. It's so different than other video poker. And then the second time I played it, I was like, yeah, I can see how there's, like, nothing to this game. And this time I played for 5 minutes and I was like, this is boring. Like, this is just nothing to do here. I'll probably still play it again next time, but it's a bad game for value anyway.
It's unfun.
It's a bad game for game. Yeah, it's not fun.
I mean, it's kind of a perfect representation of five card stud and why it is gone. Also, it's a bad game for strategic reasons too, I think, but...
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would say jacks are better. It's also very boring, but like, at least there are some decisions to be made. Played some more Baozhu Zhaofu at Borgata.
You got to.
Played a bunch of other slots. And then we sort of deliberated on where to go for dinner before I had to run out.
Yep. Like I said, I got crushed in Crapless Craps. I think we both played Heidi's Beer House next to each other, and I believe I lost my money, my $100, in like 2.5 minutes or something there next to you. I think I literally hit nothing for my $100, essentially. I think I played Wonka before dinner as well. I don't know if that was with you or not. Yeah, then we ended up going to dinner together. We walked down to the marketplace. You looked disgusted at all of your options, basically.
I just wasn't feeling the vibe down there. I don't like the way the seating is set up down there. It feels like...
Don't like the food court situation.
Yeah. And as my like last act on an Atlantic City trip, I wanted something slightly more of an experience than that. So we ended up going up to the sports book and sitting in a booth at the sports book, which I think I said at the dinner, like, it's basically just like going to a Buffalo Wild Wings, right? Like, you're sitting, there's a reasonably varied food menu, basically what you'd expect. And then you just have a bunch of sports on the TV, and it's like a pretty nice space in there, I think. When we went with my brother, like, at one point he spent just probably 3 hours sitting there playing video poker and watching an Orioles game, and I kind of joined him off and on, and it was really nice then too. And so I like that sports book a lot. We got cheese curds, like fried cheese curds for an appetizer and an artichoke dip. The cheese curds, yeah, and the cheese curds were like not as good as the Beer Garden cheese curds, I'll say.
Yeah, they were like, as far as cheese curds go, pretty mid, but like mid cheese curds are actually very good.
Right, yeah.
To other food, so.
I thought the artichoke dip was not good.
I thought it was not great either, frankly.
But the pub burger I got, I thought was pretty good.
It looked good.
You could tell it was a lot of flavors to maybe cover up for not the best meat in the world, but that's fine sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a perfectly reasonable place to go and eat if you want to watch 100 screens of sports and eat some food.
I would never think to just go there as a restaurant, except that, you know, we walked past it coming out of the marketplace, so I did. For a really casual option, which there's not a ton of at Borgata, period, I thought it was a good place to just pop in and grab something, and it was fairly quick. They've got a pretty big beer list, so yeah, I thought it was a good option, and I liked the burger a lot. I would definitely go back, which seems funny because there's so many restaurant options at Borgata, but so many of them are like Old Homestead, Angeline.
Right.
That American Bar and Grill, like more expensive stuff than what I was looking for. And so I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Right after dinner, I hustled out to the car. Well, I got a Starbucks for the road because if there's anything you need at 7:05 p.m., it's a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Drove home. And then you guys were still at Borgata for the night.
So I think after that, Taylor and I played blackjack for a while. I ended up breaking even. I think Taylor was up quite a bit. I think Taylor said he ended up, I think, up for the trip, even though he said he lost at absolutely everything he did except blackjack, but he just killed it in blackjack the whole time. So then I ended up just playing some slots for a bit after that. I played a bunch of video poker, played some more Wonka, and then I think pretty early again, probably like 10 or 11. I mean, shortly after I ended up getting the Dazzler and the humongous glass of Black Label, I ended up going to bed.
Did you wake up in time to do anything Monday morning before hitting the road?
I mean, yeah, I was up extremely early, so I ended up gambling a bunch more on Monday morning, played a little bit of Sixes and Better, which I actually won at, and then played a very long session of Tiles, which I ended up not winning at all, and played one more slot beyond that, and then it was basically like 8, and Taylor wasn't awake yet, so I was like, I have two choices. I can go to the ATM for the second time in the trip, or I could just go outside and walk around. So I went out and walked on the, you know, the water walk that is between Borgata and Harrah's, which is very nice, honestly.
The bay walk. Yeah.
The bay walk, yeah.
It is very nice.
So that's what I did until Taylor woke up. We ended up going to Bread and Butter, where I made a smart choice and did not get a breakfast sandwich. I got a breakfast quesadilla, which was very good.
Nice.
And then we went home.
So how'd you feel about the trip?
It was good. I mean, I think I mentioned that I think it's possible that Sunday may have been my worst gambling day ever. So beyond that, the trip was quite nice. It was great having four people up there. It was great. I personally checked out a ton of new stuff between Sitara. You know, I saw Wonder Bar. I walked by Proud Mary's, even though it wasn't open. I went to the South Beach Beer Garden.
Did you mention playing at the new B-Bar?
Yeah. That's where I got my liter of Black Label or whatever.
So, thoughts on the new renovated B-Bar?
Really nice. It looked quite bad in those pictures that we talked about, I think, last episode or two episodes ago. It looked incredibly bright. It wasn't. It was just extremely nice. It was.
They didn't have the overhead lights on.
Right.
For one thing, and the curtains were open, so it's not nearly as bright in there as the pictures looked. I thought it looked really nice in there.
Yep.
I couldn't get a machine the one time I went by. So yeah, definitely retract our statement from the last episode.
And actually, the only thing pretty much I ended up winning at was at B-Bar, I ended up winning, so.
What was the pay table?
8.5.
Okay. So not terrible, but not great.
That's fine for B-Bar, I think. I'm not going to fault them for that. That is with the dollar in, I think. It's possible that it's less with a quarter, but I don't play quarters, so I don't know.
A couple of notes about Borgata. The old Gypsy Bar is going to be a baccarat room, totally rebuilt. It's not just like they're slotting tables into that space.
Not the existing one, which is the old race book that's the baccarat room now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was where you could bet on the ponies, where they made the... You know where the new baccarat room is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, next to the poker room and all that.
But not for long.
Yeah, that was a temporary space.
And so then right next to the baccarat room is Noodles, not Noodles of the World, which is supposedly having its grand opening today at 3 p.m.
It looked nice. I mean, I walked by and you could see a bit of it. So
I'm a little sad that we're losing the Noodles of the World with the sign that said
Cleveland.
Cleveland. But it's funny that they're rebranding it Noodles. And it didn't look like it was ready to open today. I wouldn't have said it looked like it was 2 days from opening.
Oh, really? It looked like it was pretty close.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out when we get all the reports from listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Borg news. I also had a good trip. What did you think of Hera's Laguna Tower room?
I thought it was nice. Apparently my Ghost of Saw room was not as nice, but...
Yeah, I thought the room was really nice, really nicely renovated. I know mm-hmm. Dave and Taylor complained about the shower in the Coastal Tower. I thought the shower in the Laguna Tower was great, like totally fine. Just a really nice room, really nice that it's right off the lobby, mm-hmm. super close to the casino, so it was super easy to get up there. I would absolutely stay in Laguna Tower again. Like I said, I enjoyed my Harris gambling experience. And actually, like segueing into marina trip in general, like going into the trip in May, I was thinking like nice weather, I'd really prefer to stay on the boardwalk if possible, and it just... didn't work out cost-wise, but I have to say, getting a good amount of time at Hera's, getting a good amount of time at Borgata, walking from Hera's to Golden Nugget, you can also do the walk from Hera's to Borgata. It's not all that hard. You did it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nice, and like it gives you a decent variety of casinos, three very different casinos, honestly.
Yep, I agree.
It's obviously like a very different experience.
You get the high end, you get the middle, you get the low end.
I mean, obviously, it's like a very different experience than sort of the hustle and bustle of the boardwalk.
Right.
But I really liked it, and I came away thinking, yeah, like I would like to stay at Golden Nugget. I would absolutely do more nights at Hera's, which is not how I felt about Hera's the last time we stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
But the renovated rooms make a big difference. They have a ton of slots. They have pretty good video poker. They have three video poker bars. So I'm in on Hera's, I guess I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe the food options are not my favorite. But
no, I mean, we didn't eat there. At all.
Right. We just went elsewhere, which is good. One note about this trip for me is, like, I got there at 7 p.m. and left at 7 p.m. So it's, like, within minutes of a 24-hour trip.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when I do a 24-hour trip, it's, like...
11 to 11.
11 a.m. to 11 a.m. Yeah. And I would have said I 100% prefer getting there, having the full day, going to bed... and just waking up and leaving, because I don't like that feeling of like being in transition where you wake up and you're checked out and I feel like I'm just sort of like staring at my watch. But this, I actually really liked doing it this way. You know, I didn't love the drive home, but it's 2 hours. It's not a terrible drive home. For one thing, getting two dinners, I think, oddly makes a big difference, right? Because if you get there at 11 a.m. and leave at 11 a.m., you just get the one dinner. Like, it makes it feel longer to get two dinners. You get a pretty full night of gambling the first night. You get a pretty full day of gambling the next day. It certainly affects the ability to sit and have a cocktail anywhere. Like, you can't do it for the return trip. But I liked it a lot. I don't know if I would say I would like to make that my default, but I did like it a lot. And actually, like, I have a summer Friday coming up, and I'm sort of thinking, like, could I do the same thing where I go on Thursday after work and get there at, say, 6 or 6:30 and then stay until dinner the next day? I don't know. I mean, it would probably be a solo trip, and I don't know how realistic that is. But, yeah, I would definitely do that again. I liked it. And then the other huge thing for me is after 17 straight losing trips dating back to September of 2021 – I won money in Atlantic City.
Unbelievable.
Came home with $248 more than I left. Well, that's not true because that doesn't include, you know, tips and food and all that stuff. But
you came down with less money, certainly, than you left with, I think.
Right.
But
well, I came home with more cash.
Right. Yeah, fair. I mean, anytime you can convert credit card money into cash, you're doing something right.
You have to do it. I was very happy to get off the snide, and certainly video poker was a huge part of that, like hitting those video poker four of a kinds. Also, you know, $100 in Bubble Craps, $175 in Face Up Paigao. So really, like, pretty quickly in the trip, it felt like, oh, I'm not just, like, losing at everything and just hoping that a big hit will save it. And even though I did have some big hits, it was nice to have, like, some $20 winning sessions and stuff. So that was good. One random thought that popped into my head while I was playing some stupid slot was, I always fall into this trap of, like, oh, well, you know, I've got $42 right now, and it's a round number, but you know, 42 is an odd number. Let's get it to 40, and then I end up with like $39.85, right? And then it's like, well, I might as well just bet this and hope I get back to oh no, and now I'm down to zero. Maybe I should just embrace odd numbers. And I did have a couple times where it's like, okay, I won $19 on this slot. That's fine. Like, you don't need to play down this $19 and just lose it. Just cash out. And I think that, you know, not, I don't think that made the difference between up and down, but I think over the course of especially a two-night trip, like, I think that would probably make a big difference just in attitude, right? Of like, okay, well, I'm not turning this $21 into $0. So I'll try to keep that in mind for the future. Anything else before I ask this logistics question?
No, I think it was a really good trip. I'm glad that we got it done. Glad it was four people. You know, I'm on good track so far. It's May, and I've stayed at four casinos in Atlantic City. So we'll see if I can get to all nine before the end of the
year. Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was thinking if I made it down in June, if you would come along, we could do Nugget or something. But I don't think that's viable since you're going to Japan like 2 days later. Logistics question, which came up. We booked Harrah's. You booked a comped room. I booked for...
Wait, you couldn't book a comped room because Dave was still on the snide by then?
It wouldn't have been comped even with him. It would have been like $80. But I booked just for myself, and it was like $180 after all taxes and fees. So we booked those, figuring like lock them in, and at least we have like a baseline maximum price we'll pay. But on Friday, which was past when we could cancel Harrah's, Tropicana dropped to like 40-something per room. Do you think that you should just always gamble on last-minute rates?
So here's the thing. Here's, like, the problem. I think, like I was telling you, like, I'm much more risk-averse than other people are. And, like, my impression coming into this trip was you and Dave were very iffy if you were going to come at all. Like, I think there was a good chance it could have just been me and Taylor because you and Dave were deciding if it was going to be worth your time and equity and whatever to come on this trip. And I think waiting until the last second, even if it ended up getting cheaper, I think leaving things open until the very end, like, it gives people more of an opportunity to flake out.
If it's just you and me and we know we're both definitely going, do you wait or would you book that Harrah's room?
It depends. I mean, I think, our situation was different. Like, we could have gotten any room comped together, but let's say the situation is the same. I think we should wait. We kind of wanted to do Harrah's anyway. So, like, I ended up seeing it as not a lot of downside and my room ended up being comped, even though we split the cost of the rooms equally between all of us.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was hoping for Boardwalk Side. So I was disappointed to see the cheaper room come up and like, ah, shit, we should have waited. But in retrospect, I'm glad we did Harrah's rather than West Tower at Tropicana. We've done Tropicana so much. Even with this group, we've done Tropicana so much.
The Boardwalk on Friday, we were at the Boardwalk on Saturday, so it wasn't really like such a huge deal, I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't get very much Boardwalk time at all. Like, I didn't touch the Boardwalk on Saturday. We just went to dinner and then...
Yeah, so you didn't go to the Boardwalk at all, right?
I did not set foot on the Boardwalk. I got as close as Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. Yeah.
Right. I spent a ton of time on the Boardwalk drinking.
Yeah. But still, like, getting over to Satara and getting over to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, I felt like I got an Atlantic City experience where sometimes, like, if I just go and stay at Borgata the entire time, it's like a Borgata trip and not really an Atlantic City trip. So I didn't feel like that this time. Do we have time for a question from a listener?
If you think John M. can probably wait until the next episode, I think that's better. We've been on this call for an hour and a half now, so.
We've only been recording for an hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah. Do you think John can wait?
I don't know. He said next month he's going. I'll email him and see, and I can email him a response. And then we can do it on the show next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. As always, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content, aka the podcast, at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Eskin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com, and we will push them off until next episode.
Yeah, perpetually. Just continually push them off every time.
Or Craig won't even tell me about them, and then he'll be like, yeah, we have like three emails in the inbox.
Yeah. Yeah, or just forget to add them.
Yeah.
From our friend Dave, I've got multiple. There's sort of always once never, sort of would you rathers.
Okay.
So we've got some stuff for that. All
right, got some stuff in the hopper.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome back, Seven Out, I have to say. New episode for the first time in over a year.
Did you listen?
I know, I didn't listen yet. I haven't had a chance.
I listened on the way up. It was good.
I've been working on the bus on the way to and from work. It's very annoying.
I think Vinny Chen said that Atlantic City is just not a part of his life anymore, so...
Oh, boo.
Turn to the dark side, yeah.
Boo.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
A few weeks? It feels so good to put a positive number in this spreadsheet. It's been a long-ass time, I have to say. Like, if you include Vegas in there, it's 18 straight gambling trips.
Sounds like a lot of gambling. You need to get good.
Oh, no, that's not true. because I had a win at Horseshoe Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
In 2022. If we can count that, it was only 12 straight losing trips. No, 13 straight losing trips.